Chapter 63. As he had continued to look steadily at me, I took it as a reminder that he objected to being extolled for his consideration. I could not help showing in my face how much it pleased me, but I said little, and he resumed his usual smile, and seemed relieved. But see here, apostrophe, he said, looking before us, where the original little Emily comes. And that fellow with her, eh? Upon my soul, he's a true knight. He never leaves her. Apostrophe, Ham was a boat builder in these days, having improved a natural ingenuity in that handicraft, until he had become a skilled workman. He was in his working dress, and looked rugged enough, but manly withal, and a very fit protector for the blooming little creature at his side. Indeed, there was a frankness in his face, an honesty, and an undisguised show of his pride in her, and his love for her, which were, to me, the best of good looks. I thought, as they came towards us, that they were well matched even in that particular. She withdrew her hand timidly from his arm as we stopped to speak to them, and blushed as she gave it to Steerforth and to me. When they passed on, after we had exchanged a few words, she did not like to replace that hand, but, still appearing timid and constrained, walked by herself. I thought all this very pretty and engaging, and Steerforth seemed to think so too, as we looked after them fading away in the light of a young moon. Suddenly there passed us, evidently following them, a young woman whose approach we had not observed, but whose face I saw as she went by, and thought I had a faint remembrance of. She was lightly dressed, looked old, and haggard, and flaunting, and poor, but seemed, for the time, to have given all that to the wind which was blowing, and to have nothing in her mind, but going after them. As the dark distant level, absorbing their figures into itself, left but itself visible between us, and the sea and clouds, her figure disappeared in like manner, still no nearer to them than before. That is a black shadow to be following the girl, apostrophe, said Steerforth, standing still. What does it mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he spoke in a low voice that sounded almost strange to me. She must have it in her mind to beg of them, I think, apostrophe, said one. A beggar would be no novelty, apostrophe, said Steerforth. But it is a strange thing that the beggar should take that shape tonight. Apostrophe, why? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asked. For no better reason, truly, than because I was thinking, apostrophe, he said, after a pause, of something like it, when it came by. Where the devil did it come from, I wonder? Apostrophe, apostrophe, from the shadow of this wall, I think, apostrophe, said I, as we emerged upon the road on which a wall abutted. It's gone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he returned, looking over his shoulder. And all will go with it. Now for our dinner. Apostrophe, but he looked again over his shoulder towards the sea line glimmering afar off, and yet again. And he wondered about it, in some broken expressions, several times, in the short remainder of our walk, and only seemed to forget it, when the light of fire and candle shone upon us, seated warm and merry, at table. Littimer was there, and had his usual effect upon me. When I said to him, that I hoped Mrs. Steerforth and Miss Dartle were well, he answered respectfully and of course respectably, that they were tolerably well, he thanked me, and had sent their compliments. This was all, and yet he seemed to me to say as plainly as a man could say, "You are very young, sir, you are exceedingly young." Apostrophe, we had almost finished dinner, when taking a step or two towards the table, from the corner where he kept watch upon us, or rather upon me, as I felt, he said to his master, "I beg your pardon, sir. Miss Mocher is down here." Apostrophe, who? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Steerforth, much astonished. "Miss Mocher, sir." Apostrophe, why, what on earth, does she do here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Steerforth. It appears to be her native part of the country, sir. She informs me that she makes one of her professional visits here, every year, sir. I met her in the street this afternoon, and she wished to know if she might have the honor of waiting on you after dinner, sir. Apostrophe, do you know the giantess in question, Daisy? Apostrophe, inquired Steerforth. I was obliged to confess I felt ashamed, even of being at this disadvantage before Littimer, that Miss Mocher and I were wholly unacquainted. Then you shall know her, apostrophe said Steerforth, for she is one of the seven wonders of the world. When Miss Mocher comes, show her in. Apostrophe, I felt some curiosity and excitement about this lady, especially as Steerforth burst into a fit of laughing when I referred to her, and positively refused to answer any question, of which I made her the subject. I remained, therefore, in a state of considerable expectation until the cloth had been removed some half an hour, and we were sitting over our decanter of wine before the fire, when the door opened, and Littimer, with his habitual serenity quite undisturbed, announced, Miss Mocher. Apostrophe, I looked at the doorway and saw nothing. I was still looking at the doorway, thinking that Miss Mocher was along, while making her appearance, when, to my infinite astonishment, there came waddling round a sofa which stood between me and it, a pursy dwarf, of about 40 or 45, with a very large head and face, a pair of roguish gray eyes, and such extremely little arms, that, to enable herself to lay a finger archly against her snub nose, as she ogled Steerforth, she was obliged to meet the finger halfway, and lay her nose against it. Her chin, which was what is called a double chin, was so fat that it entirely swallowed up the strings of her bonnet, bow and all. Throat she had none, waist she had none, legs she had none, worth mentioning, for though she was more than full-sized down to where her waist would have been, if she had had any, and though she terminated, as human beings generally do, in a pair of feet, she was so short that she stood at a common-sized chair, as at a table, resting a back she carried on the seat. This lady dressed in an off-hand, easy style, bringing her nose and her forefinger together, with the difficulty I have described, standing with her head necessarily on one side, and, with one of her sharp eyes shut up, making an uncommonly knowing face after ogling Steerforth for a few moments, broke into a torrent of words. What? My flower? Apostrophe she pleasantly began, shaking her large head at him. You're there, are you? Oh, you naughty boy, fie for shame, what do you do so far away from home? Up to mischief, I'll be bound. Oh, you're a downy fellow, Steerforth. So you are, and I'm another, ain't I? Ha, ha, ha. You'd have betted £100 to 5, now, that you wouldn't have seen me here, wouldn't you? Bless you, man alive, I'm everywhere. I'm here and there, and where not, like the conjurer's half-crown in the lady's handkercher. Talking of handkerchers and talking of ladies, what a comfort you are to your blessed mother, ain't you, my dear boy, over one of my shoulders, and I don't say which. Apostrophe, Miss Mocher untied her bonnet, at this passage of her discourse, threw back the strings, and sat down, panting, on a footstool in front of the fire, making a kind of arbor of the dining table, which spread its mahogany shelter above her head. Oh my stars, and what's their names? Apostrophe, she went on, clapping a hand on each of her little knees, and glancing shrewdly at me, I'm of too full a habit, that's the fact, Steerforth. After a flight of stairs, it gives me as much trouble to draw every breath I want, as if it was a bucket of water. If you saw me looking out of an upper window, you'd think I was a fine woman, wouldn't you? Apostrophe, I should think that, wherever I saw you, apostrophe replied Steerforth. Go along, you dog, do. Apostrophe cried the little creature, making a whisk at him with the handkerchief with which she was wiping her face, and don't be impudent. But I give you my word and honor I was at Lady Mither's last week. There's a woman. How she wears. And Mithers himself came into the room, where I was waiting for her. There's a man. How he wears. and his wig too, for he's had at least 10 years, and he went on at that rate in the complimentary line, that I began to think I should be obliged to ring the bell. Ha, ha, ha. He's a pleasant wretch, but he wants principle. Apostrophe, what were you doing for Lady Mithers? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Steerforth. That's tellings, my blessed infant, apostrophe, she retorted, tapping her nose again, screwing up her face, and twinkling her eyes like an imp of supernatural intelligence. Never you mind. You'd like to know whether I stop her hair from falling off, or dye it, or touch up her complexion, or improve her eyebrows, wouldn't you? And so you shall, my darling, when I tell you. Do you know what my great-grandfather's name was? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, apostrophe, said Steerforth. It was Walker, my sweet pet, apostrophe, replied Miss Mocher, and he came of a long line of Walkers that I inherit all the hooky estates from. Apostrophe, I never beheld anything approaching to Miss Mocher's wink except Miss Mocher's self-possession. She had a wonderful way to, when listening to what was said to her, or when waiting for an answer to what she had said herself, of pausing with her head cunningly on one side, and one eye turned up like a magpie's. Altogether I was lost in amazement, and sat staring at her, quite oblivious, I am afraid, of the laws of politeness. She had by this time drawn the chair to her side, and was busily engaged in producing from the bag, plunging in her short arm to the shoulder, at every dive, a number of small bottles, sponges, combs, brushes, bits of flannel, little pairs of curling irons, and other instruments, which she tumbled in a heap upon the chair. From this employment she suddenly desisted, and said to Steerforth, much to my confusion, who's your friend? Apostrophe, 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 Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe, said Steerforth. He wants to know you. Apostrophe, well then, he shall. I thought he looked as if he did. Apostrophe, returned Miss Mocher, waddling up to me, bag in hand, and laughing on me as she came. Face like a peach. Apostrophe, standing on tiptoe, to pinch my cheek as I sat. Quite tempting. I'm very fond of peaches. Happy to make your acquaintance, Mr. Copperfield, I'm sure. Apostrophe, I said, that I congratulated myself on having the honor to make hers, and that the happiness was mutual. Oh, my goodness, how polite we are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Mocher, making a preposterous attempt to cover her large face with her morsel of a hand. What a world of gammon and spinach it is, though, ain't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, this was addressed confidentially to both of us, as the morsel of a hand came away from the face and buried itself, arm and all, in the bag again. What do you mean, Miss Mocher? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Steerforth. Ha, ha, ha. What a refreshing set of humbugs we are. To be sure, ain't we, my sweet child? Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied that morsel of a woman, feeling in the bag with her head on one side and her eye in the air. Look here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, taking something out. Scraps of the Russian prince's nails. Prince Alphabet turned topsy-turvy, I call him, for his name's got all the letters in it, Higgledy Piggledy. Apostrophe, the Russian prince is a client of yours, is he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Steerforth. I believe you, my pet, apostrophe, replied Miss Mocher. I keep his nails in order for him. Twice a week. Fingers and toes. Apostrophe, he pays well, I hope? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Steerforth. Pays, as he speaks, my dear child, through the nose, apostrophe, replied Miss Mocher. None of your close shavers the prince ain't. You'd say so, if you saw his mustachios. Red by nature, black by art. Apostrophe, by your art, of course, apostrophe, said Steerforth. Miss Mocher winked assent. Forced to send for me. Couldn't help it. The climate affected his dye. It did very well in Russia, but it was no go here. You never saw such a rusty prince in all your born days as he was. Like old iron. Apostrophe, is that why you called him a humbug just now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Steerforth. Oh, you're a broth of a boy, ain't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Miss Mocher, shaking her head violently. I said, what a set of humbugs we were in general, and I showed you the scraps of the prince's nails to prove it. The prince's nails do more for me in private families of the genteel sort than all my talents put together. I always carry 'em about. They're the best introduction. If Miss Mocher cuts the prince's nails, she must be all right. I give 'em away to the young ladies. They put 'em in albums, I believe. Ha! 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 Upon my life, the whole social system, as the men call it, when they make speeches in Parliament, is a system of prince's nails. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said this least of women, trying to fold her short arms, and nodding her large head. Steerforth laughed heartily, and I laughed too. Miss Mocher continuing all the time to shake her head, which was very much on one side, and to look into the air with one eye, and to wink with the other. Well, well, apostrophe, apostrophe, she said, smiting her small knees, and rising, this is not business. Come, Steerforth, let's explore the polar regions, and have it over. Apostrophe, she then selected two or three of the little instruments, and a little bottle, and asked, to my surprise, if the table would bear. On Steerforth's replying in the affirmative, she pushed a chair against it, and begging the assistance of my hand, mounted up, pretty nimbly, to the top, as if it were a stage. If either of you saw my ankles, apostrophe, she said, when she was safely elevated, say so, and I'll go home and destroy myself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did not, apostrophe, said Steerforth. I did not, apostrophe, said one. Well then, apostrophe, cried Miss Mocher, I'll consent to live. Now, ducky, 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 come to Mrs. Bond and be killed. Apostrophe, this was an invocation to Steerforth, to place himself under her hands, who, accordingly, sat himself down, with his back to the table, and his laughing face towards me, and submitted his head to her inspection, evidently for no other purpose than our entertainment. To see Miss Mocher standing over him, looking at his rich profusion of brown hair through a large round magnifying glass, which she took out of her pocket, was a most amazing spectacle. You're a pretty fellow. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Mocher, after a brief inspection. You'd be as bald as a friar on the top of your head in 12 months, but for me. Just half a minute, my young friend. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.